The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwin.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings, programs. In your search for high-quality family entertainment, you have failed. Instead, you found the Rapids podcast presented by Advocare. We're glad that you're here, however. On this edition, we'll hear from Tim Howard on his call-up to the U.S. Men's National Team for the huge, I cannot emphasize that enough, rather large World Cup qualifiers against Honduras and Panama coming up in this next week. New signing Mike DeFont talks about his move from Sacramento Republic FC, and Sam Cronin joins us to preview a first-ever visit of Minnesota United FC. No Peter Walton this week. I know we've been teasing it for 2 weeks now, but we will bring it to you next week, probably in two parts, and it is real. Here's the proof.
When the season finished last year, me and my support staff sat down and I went through the various plays, went through the various data that we gleaned from the 2016 season, just to see what we were good at and, you know, elements that we perhaps could be better at. And I and my team sort of picked on these four issues that, whilst they are covered in the law of the game, maybe our referees were not adhering to that law strictly, and maybe teams were seen to be trying to circumvent some of the laws. So really, we picked those for the way that we can improve the game for 2017.
Okay, Richard Fleming, you actually did talk to Peter Walton. It isn't Bigfoot. It isn't the Loch Ness Monster.
No,
it's not a chupacabra. He exists. The interview does exist. It happened.
Yes, he very kindly gave up a decent chunk of his time. I was in New Jersey ahead of the Red Bulls game, and I made contact with Peter. And we go through a lot of different topics. That was just a little tease of some of the areas that we touched upon. We've video assistant referee. We touched upon the points of emphasis. We look upon
the psychology
of being a referee, the difficulty of the role now, and obviously it's been highlighted as recently as last weekend with LA against Portland and kind of the fallout from that.
So why? Whatever happened in that match?
I'm not sure. I'll have to go and refresh my memory. But there is a lot that we kind of dissect and get into, and it was probably about a 20-minute interview. So there's a lot to get through, and Peter's always very gracious with his time. So we're grateful for that, and we'll probably divide it into two parts and tiptoe through that in the weeks, of course.
We're going to have a lot of time to fill because you had weeks 1, 2, 3 right in a row, and then now 3 weeks off of the Rapids because we have honored the request of FC Dallas to move that April 1st game because of their Champions League duties. They beat Pachuca at home last night thanks to Kellen Acosta's magnificent free kick winner. So that means that game has been moved to October. So the next game for the Rapids isn't until April 9th at Sporting Kansas City. And we've both asked multiple players about, you know, you get up for the season, you have 3 weeks in a row, and then you have this big gap. That's got to mess with the minds and the bodies
and
a little bit.
And it's not just – I don't think it's just the players, you know, the fans, the following, the media.
Us? What are we going to do?
You know, the league as a whole has kind of built up throughout preseason. They built up to this season opener, home opener, the season start, and you get three games in. And certainly for the Rapids, as you say, they've got then two blank weekends. So they go 3 weeks without a game. I'm pretty sure the Rapids will try and get some intra-squad scrimmages within that to try and keep those competitive juices flowing. They may even get a friendly game in there as well. It will give a little bit of time to you know, maybe iron out some creases from early season. We've had two games. We've got the Minnesota game to come at the weekend. But yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. And thankfully, we've had some wonderful weather apart from the cold at the Red Bulls. And you just hope that we'll get not so good weather over the next few weeks. So we'll think we're not missing out on too much. But there'll be a few blank weekends to come.
We'll talk about that and much more coming up. But first, let's go back to that very cold 1-0 loss at New York Red Bulls. An own goal off of the boot of Eric Miller is the decider. Was it a fair result on Saturday?
Well, I think if you look at the game as a whole, you take a step back. Without the save, 7 saves from Tim Howard,
including probably three of the spectacular variety.
And so that's then a greater scoreline. The Red Bulls, 13 shots, 7 on target. The Rapids, 3 shots, just the 1 on frame. And you know, obviously, that was the best chance of the game. That was Don Baggio racing through, got clear of the defence. And Luis Robles, the record breaker, did well to stick out a leg. I don't think it was the best of connections from Baggio. For me, not enough creativity, not enough cohesion, certainly in the front four. That was Powers, Hairston, Calvert and Baggio. Players were caught in possession far too much. Yes, the Red Bulls closed down space. They did well to force the errors. But for me, it wasn't so much the scoreline for me. You know, it was a loss. It was a 1-0 loss. But I think it was the manner of the defeat. For a spell of around 10 or 15 minutes in that first half, and there were little patches in the second half as well, the Rapids matched the Red Bulls. They were getting in the final third. But it wasn't enough, and it wasn't for long enough spells. They then became pressed in their own half, and you kind of saw them struggle to get an out. And you know, bearing in mind we were told pre-season we were going to see a more aggressive style. Now it takes two to tango. They're against a Red Bull side, as they say, that were pressing and closing down the space very, very quickly. But for me, the scoreline, disappointing. The result, disappointing. It was the manner of that defeat. They didn't create enough chances for me to say, well, they gave it a good go. Without Tim Howard, that could have been a bit of a beating.
Any positives from Saturday?
Howard. I think Tim Howard, seven saves that he made and coming back.
Sort of resisting that pressure from New York, because I felt like Rapids had no time with the ball whatsoever. If they got the ball, the next second there was a New York Red Bull on them immediately.
Yeah, and I think for me, if that happens in the 90th minute and it's the first time it's happened, okay, it's tough to adjust.
But it was from the first whistle.
But from the first whistle, and you would have hoped that the Rapids would have kind of recognized that, acknowledged that, and picked up their game, but they didn't seem to do that. New York Red Bulls seemed to be half a yard quicker, had a greater sense of urgency. And as I say, there seemed to be a greater understanding between the players on the field. There just seemed to be a disconnect. There didn't seem to be that, and we've used the phrase in the past, and it's, you know, the Dutch total football, where you attack in numbers and you defend in numbers. And I know that's a system that they've tried through pre-season to bring about, and not just have that kind of solid burgundy wall or gold wall as it was at the Red Bulls. And there was that disconnect. So when they did attack or they did break, there was one or two players and they weren't getting forward in numbers. And that, for me, suggests that, A, they weren't expecting to break, they weren't planning on breaking, or they were camped so deep that the odd one or two players that were breaking were not having the chance to have numbers come up in support. And I will say this, the players that had possession on last Saturday, certainly as the game wore on, would look around and they wouldn't have too many options.
Sure.
There wouldn't be too many players nearby.
We talked
to
about it on the call.
Support.
No movement either. I mean, everyone was standing, especially late in the game, you're down 1-0, you're trying to at least walk away with a point. And the movement off the ball was virtually non-existent. I know we're trying to talk about the positives category, but this is why we're struggling here.
Yeah.
And hopefully, after the sort of training sessions that we've watched this week out here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, that sort of mentality may change a little bit for Saturday.
Yeah, so Howard, I think, was a positive. Cerner was a positive.
Yes.
Got more minutes, got half an hour. Gashi, seeing his first minutes, didn't see too much of the ball while he was on. I think some of that was kind of passing him by at that stage. But then you look at other negatives. Schuberg.
Yeah.
They lose Schuberg. He goes in for surgery on Monday and Tuesday, and he's out 6 to 8 weeks. And then they'll reevaluate. So in other words, that's your minimum.
Yeah.
That's your minimum. He could be out for even longer. So we come back to not having a game for 3 weeks after this weekend. Well, maybe that's a little bit of a silver lining, is that's 3 weeks for Schuberg to kind of sort of scratch
heal
off the wall that he'll not be available.
What, is he in a prison cell?
Well, I imagine it's going to feel like that.
Feels
for him.
Like that.
It's going to be tough. He's been very much a mainstay.
He started all 47 games he's played in as a member of the
Rapids. So I would imagine Bobby Burling would be the natural. I can't see them bringing in the new guy,
DeFont.
I can't see them bringing in Courtney Ford. I can't see them shuffling that back line to bring Miller inside and Williams out wide.
I mean, last year, whether it was Watts out, Burling out, you know, it was one of the two at center back alongside Axel, and you would think it would be the reverse this time.
Yeah.
So Bobby's the natural choice.
And those two, Watts and Burling, have played alongside each other a bit, not as much as Burling and Schuberg and Watts and Schuberg, but they'll have trained, and if that's the combination, you know, Bobby is a veteran, he's experienced, and like Axel, you know what you're going to get from him. You'll get, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. His will be the sweat, and the opposition player will be the blood and the tears. So that's what we expect. Probably one of the only changes.
And there's two other injuries to address here. Kevin Doyle had headaches. He did not even travel to New York last week. And then Alan Gordon had a little bit of a back tweak as well. Doyle seemed to be doing better.
Be
he should
fine.
Be good to go for
Saturday. And I asked him because just the Sam Cronin and Kevin Doyle were walking out from the training field. And I got to Sam, and we'll hear from him in a bit. And I said to Kevin, you know, how are you feeling? And he said, yep, there's a brain in there. They had to do a scan, but they found one. So that's the good news. So he seems good. Yeah. And then Alan Gordon came up. And as you say, he's been in full training. So it's bodies on the bench, it's options. And the other thing I'll say is that I do think Doyle is kind of the glue up top.
Oh, yeah.
He might not produce the goals that maybe we would like, but...
But how many chances did he even create in that doing?
Hairston and Badgie and Powers around him, I think he brings the best out of those guys. Mm. And so having him back and available for the weekend is another big plus, because this is a Minnesota side that is going to be...
He's
going to be desperate.
They
absolutely
need
desperate.
You talked about Tim Howard, made the team of the week, obviously, and you called it right on the air there, save of the week candidate, and should be the save of the week for sure, that second minute save on Bradley Wright Phillips. On Wednesday, was called up to the U.S. men's national squad for their upcoming World Cup qualifiers. We spoke to him after training this week.
It's always an honor. You know, it's one of the greatest things that's happened to me in my life, not just my career. Playing for my country, you know, getting invited and being involved in the national team is second to none.
Did that serve as an extra motivating factor for you when you were going through your rehab?
Getting back healthy and fit was my number one concern, you know, coming through my rehab. Obviously, I want to play well for Colorado. I want to play well for the U.S. I want to get the opportunity. So, you know, it was certainly twofold. Oh, I think pressure is what you make of it. You know, we still feel we're the best team in CONCACAF, and we didn't perform well enough in the first two games. But this is the hex, and these games are tough. Had we taken maximum points from the first two, we'd still have pressure on us to perform and to get results against Honduras and Panama. So. We'll be prepared, you know, we'll be willing to fight and ready and obviously willing to get those results.
That's great news for Tim Howard. Bruce Arena has said he'll wait on the fitness of the three goalkeepers, Guzan and Raimondo, or the other two. He'll observe those during training leading up to the Honduras game. Tim Howard leaves Sunday to go join the team in their camp leading up to the game on Friday night. We, of course, wish Tim and the United States of America in all its glory the very best in their World Cup qualifiers, again, Honduras and Panama upcoming. We'll be right back.
Are you in for 90? Enjoy a craft beer and a game courtesy of Odell Brewing and the Colorado Rapids.
Gosh, he's going to have a go, is he? Striking one!
The Rapids take on Real Salt Lake on April 15th at 7 p.m. for the first game in the Rocky Mountain Cup Showdown.
And a big save from Tim Howard.
Starting at just $34, receive a ticket to the game, a 90-shilling beer, and the Rapids t-shirt courtesy of Odell Brewing.
Post looking for Doyle! He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Go to ColoradoRapids.com.
I know it's not what you're supposed to probably do, but do what that guy says. I know he sounds terrible, but do what he says. Get your tickets for this Saturday's home game against newcomers Minnesota United FC. The Loons are in town. What a great nickname. One of my favorite nicknames in the whole league, the Loons. It's the Rapids' third game of the season, second at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. And the skipper, Sam Cronin, helps us look ahead.
Do you prepare for this side differently, knowing how desperate they're going to be?
Not differently, I wouldn't say, but we're very aware of the situation they're in. And honestly, it's a dangerous situation for us because they're playing for their lives. They're playing for respect. So they're a wounded animal in a lot of ways. And we know it's going to be a very difficult game. And the start of the game is very important for us.
How'd you go into it, knowing that they've conceded a lot?
but kind of the sense here is that you contain teams and wear them down. But knowing that they're susceptible, maybe a little fragile, does that change your approach here at home?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just need to get after the game. We need to make sure. I mean, obviously they're getting a good week of work defensively, training wise, and the coaches are probably all over them. So we got to make sure that we're very ready for them, because I think they're going to be all guns blazing. And we're gonna approach the game similar mentality as we always do, but being aware that it's going to be a very kind of tricky game.
What have you seen from them, and what kind of positives from an opposition's standpoint that you've got to look out for?
Yeah, and it sounds a bit weird to say, but they've been unlucky in a lot of ways too. They've created a handful of good chances, and it seems like every time the team's got an opportunity against them, they've finished it really well. So I think it was 2-1 against Portland in like the 80th minute or something, and it just blew up. So the score lines are a bit misleading. They got some good, sharp attacking players, and if we're not up for it mentality-wise, they'll pop it around. So we got to make sure we handle our business at home.
They've conceded 4 goals in the last 15 minutes, more than any other team in Major League Soccer. And, of course, we know what visiting teams here at altitude, that last 15 minutes can be crucial. Do you look at things like that and think, well, that's where we're going to kind of benefit?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good stat. And obviously at home we usually do wear teams down, so we got to make sure we especially are focused on doing that. And but I think the start of the game is most important. The first goal is massive in this game. If they get it, it gives them hope and gives them reason to kind of rally behind. But if we get it, then I think we're all over them, and we can suffocate them out of the game. So we're going to use altitude, our fans, the energy of the stadium, all for positive influence for us.
Good old rallying call there from Pablo in training today. I mean, he's pumped up for it, and you guys kind of feed off that. And you're the kind of player that Pablo was. And in other words, this is a Thursday. What's the message that's then going to be relayed to the guys going into Saturday?
Yeah, I think we deserved that. We needed the wake-up call. Like I said, if we're not up for it on Saturday, we could be in for a rude awakening and a very disappointing result. So we got to make sure that more than ever that we're up for it, that the whole team's ready to go, and we start the game fast and we play fast for 90 minutes.
And it's a strange one. You've got 3 games in a row and then 3 weeks off. So, you know, it's a case of going out on a bit of a high, because you've got a bit of a rest after this one.
Yeah, no, that's right. It puts even more emphasis on the game. we get 3 points, and we're sitting on 6 through 3 games, and we're near the top of the table, so we'll be in a good spot and really iron out some things in the next 3 weeks, training period-wise. And if we don't take care of business, then we're kicking ourselves at a missed opportunity for a long stretch. So the game's massive. We need to get 3 points, and it's all about our mentality and approach to start the game.
There's the captain speaking to the one and only Dr. Goodlove and professional cool guy, Richard Fleming. That's you.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you're a stats guy. You're a numbers guy. What, you're going to say something?
No.
Okay,
no.
All right. Rapids are 9-2-2 against expansion clubs at home, and this is Minnesota, a team that it seems is battling to adjust to life in MLS. Somebody asked me after watching their opening game at Portland, which turned out to be the Fernando Adi show, especially there late in the second half, what did you think of Minnesota playing Portland? And I said, you know what it looked like? It looked like an NASL team playing an MLS team, and that didn't really change. I know it's tough conditions in their home opener. They're playing in the snow. You would think that they'd maybe be able to take advantage of that against Atlanta United. Not excited about that, but they just, especially defensively, obviously allowing 11 goals in 2 games, they haven't been able to adjust. And you had Thiessen, Demidov, and Calvo at center back, and then Jermaine Taylor, who, you know, basically helped open those floodgates. He kept the, I believe it was Martinez onside in that early going there. So the adjustment, I know it's probably a slow process, but haven't been able to do it so far.
No, and Adrian Heath has come out and said that maybe one of the more frustrating elements after last Sunday's defeat to Atlanta was that they'd been working on defensive shape and they'd been working on the defensive unit after the Portland game. So to then go into game 2 and get done even worse is a tough one, and is a bit of a head scratcher for Adrian Heath. You hope that they've not quite discovered
right. All of a sudden, Wednesday afternoon, oh, we got it. The solution has been found.
Let's hope that maybe the penny drops Sunday morning as they're heading back to Minnesota. It's always a difficult one when you're the expansion team. You're putting an entire roster together in the off season, and you know, you want to hope that, that things are going to click and are going to click very, very quickly. Yeah, they've had it very, very tough. And 9 of the 11 goals have been scored inside the box. For me, that suggests that they don't either observe the danger, they don't recognize the danger early
don't
enough.
Track very well.
And they don't neutralize that danger. For 9 of the 11 goals, it's 14 shots on target, of which 11 have gone in. So you hope that, that the Rapids have a day in the sunshine on Saturday night. 4 of their 11 goals have come in the final 15 minutes. And as we heard there with Sam, and that was the stat that I put to Sam, is that that's kind of the 15-minute period. We know here at altitude, 75th minute onwards, that the opposition can begin to flag, and the Rapids have scored late goals and have enjoyed, have had a lot of joy in those final 15 minutes. So that could be when all the fireworks go off on Saturday evening. They're just testing.
Speaking of fireworks, they're testing the audio here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
Here inside the
that
stadium.
Literally shook me.
Yeah. So
it's a rumble.
It has been a tough start. But I think we looked during the offseason. We could see the acquisitions that were being made by Atlanta, who spent a lot of money on flair players. We saw the money and the players that they were kind of acquiring, and then compared that to Minnesota. And we said during the offseason, this is a Minnesota side that looks as if it's going to struggle, that it doesn't seem to be quite ready. Adrian Heath has got experience. He's as an MLS
right
coach.
Right in Orlando City
Orlando, brought them in from USL, the former Stoke City and Everton player. But yeah, they seem to have had a bit of a tough start. And interestingly, this will be their first game on natural grass. They played on turf at Portland and turf at in the home opener last weekend. Whether that is going to kind of help their game, I know their people are clutching at that as a possible.
I think they're just excited to play in weather that's above 35 degrees, to be fair. Well, Portland, not warm, and of course, Minnesota
19,
at home was 19 degrees. They were trying to research if that was actually the coldest game in MLS history.
By one degree.
By a degree,
right. And the coldest was MLS Cup 2013.
Yep.
And Sporting KC against Real Salt Lake. So, look, they're struggling, and from a Rapid standpoint, good.
Yeah.
And let's hope they continue to struggle.
Finally, we can build on some confidence, get that goal-scoring spark ignited coming up here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park on Saturday. Rapids made a little bit more news this week, signing another defender from Sacramento Republic FC, Mike DeFont. What do you know about him?
A little bit more now I've done the interview. I didn't.
Which one is he?
There was not a lot. And obviously, you research these players. He had a wonderful time at Sacramento, and we'll hear shortly, you know, that I make mention of when he left is sometimes an indicator as to how the other team or how his former team reacts. And fans were coming out on social media, you know, we'll miss you, good luck, all the best. It's not going to be the same without you, all of that. So he was clearly a well-liked, well-respected and well-thought of player at Sacramento. This is a step up. You know, you just spoken a few moments ago about Minnesota and, you know, kind of looking like an NASL, and with, you know, with all due respect, let's hope that doesn't come back to haunt the Rapids this weekend. But they looked.
If it does, it'll be my fault.
In other words, there's a gap. There's a gap in quality, and it is a step up. So even if you shine at a lower level, it's
may
still,
not translate.
It is. You know, that transition from USL to Major League Soccer is a big step up. So he's highly thought of, and I know people around town were like, we need a number 10.
We don't
need a defender. Well, then, of course, Axel goes down. Right. So it gives us a few options and a bit of depth in that position.
Which the DeFont signing was not done in reaction to the Schubert thing. It had already been signed, sealed, delivered. Uh-huh. It just is coincidental, shall we say. You alluded to it earlier. Here is your conversation with the newest member of the Colorado Rapids.
Well, Mike, welcome to Colorado. Give us a sense of the kind of player you are.
I like to try to keep possession. I like to go in hard on tackles and try to get up for headers and get up on set pieces and score some goals.
What do you know about the Rapids? What did you know about the Rapids? And give us a sense of how this move came about.
Well, I just knew it's a really good defensive team, and I know Pablo's really about that, and that's something I want to keep getting better at all the time. So it made sense to come here, and literally just found out about this a week and a half ago. Like, I was just in preseason with Sacramento, get a call one day, hey, you just got sold, and I was just like, okay. But it's good. I'm happy to be here for sure.
What about your background? Because you were at Red Bulls 2, and then you went to Sacramento. Did you ever feel kind of during that process that maybe my chance at MLS is kind of gone now, and this is maybe like a second bite.
Yeah, well, at Red Bull 2, like, everything was going well. I was captain, most minutes, most starts, most appearances. The first team brought me up the train, played against Chelsea, and so I really thought I was going to have a chance with the first team, even go to preseason the next year. And when they decided not to bring me back, I was, like, heartbroken. Like, it hurt a lot, because that's my hometown club, too. Like, just hurt. But then I went to Sacramento, and turned into a really good opportunity. I did well in that year, and I was trying to see about my options after, but I didn't see anything, so I was like, I'll go back to Sacramento, and then this just arose, and it's just like a great blessing.
Is it, you know, one door closes, they say, and another door opens. What do you think has attracted you to the Rapids? And Major League Soccer, it's a step up.
I don't know, just maybe last year I felt like I had something to prove, especially getting let go by Red Bulls and some other things that were happening in Sacramento. I just felt like there was more of a fire under me now, and there was more for me to just prove to more people. Like, people were like, oh, maybe he can't do it, maybe he can't do it. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it.
And here, stepping out onto a field, and, you know, forget the fact that it's Rapids Major League Soccer, but you're turning around and you got Tim Howard around you. You've got internationals like Shkelton Gashi. How quickly, how easy was that for you to settle in?
When I first got here, I was nervous, but once you step on the field, you forget all about that, and everyone knows how to play the same game. We've all been playing it all our lives, so it was easy to start getting into things and talking to people, and they've been really good guys, too, that, like, really welcome me, and so I feel like at home.
Along the back line, what position centrally? Can you play on one of the outside backs?
I could play either center back, and last year for a couple games, one of our right back got hurt, and so I was playing right back for a couple games, but then we got another, and so I went back to center back.
And I saw a few of the messages on, you know, via Sacramento Republic's social media feed. It seems that they're going to see you as a bit of a loss. What are your highlights, your best memories of Sacramento?
For sure, my first goal, like, at home again in Bonnie Field when we beat Seattle 2. It was like the 80th minute. We were tied 1-1, and I had just come back from like 2 months out with a knee injury, and to be back for three games and then score that goal and just all the fans went crazy is by far like one of the biggest highlights of my career so far.
And now it's the step up, but, you know, in your mind, is there a sense that the work again starts now?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've, for the past, since I've been playing, since I was five, like, I've always worked my ass off, so this doesn't stop. Like, I've got here, but, like, I still have so much to prove. Like, I'm just here now. Like, I want to earn a spot. I want to keep moving up. I want to keep doing things, and this is just the beginning.
And your journey to the Red Bulls, give us a sense of how that came about.
It's actually, I played in Portugal for 2 years, like in the third division, and I kind of had done both seasons, and my agent had gone to the World Cup, and so when he came back, I was like, what's going on, like, going to the second division, first division, like, what's going on? He said, there's nothing really coming about, like, you go back to the third division. I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. So I stayed in New York, didn't have a club for about 8 months, was training with any team I could, playing Sunday league, playing with semi-pro teams, just training with them. And then one of the coaches for a semi-pro team was like, listen, I think you're really good, and Red Bull's about to have a USL team. I know the coach. I'm going to have you go try out. So he called me about 2 weeks later. He's like, get down to New Jersey right now. Asked my mom if I could borrow a car. Went down there, and the rest was history.
Portugal? How did that come about?
My agent is Portuguese, so, and he played over there. So he had seen me at a PDL tryout one time, and he's like, I like you, and I want to bring you to Portugal. And I was like, yeah, for sure. But it was a good experience. I matured a lot, and I learned a lot of things.
And what has that taught you, the fact that you've, I mean, the stories you've just told us, your journey to MLS is not unique.
Yeah, it's definitely not a normal thing. It's not as easy as getting drafted. I've been around, and so it makes coming here, like, I don't take it for granted. Maybe some guys who get drafted take it for granted, but I know what it takes to get here, and I've put in the work to try to get here, so it means a lot more to me.
There's Mike DeFont speaking with our very own Richard Fleming. Time now for
more important dates to remember.
This is the Cardell Holmes Community Spotlight. This is when I wish it was a video podcast sometimes so people could see your silly faces you make. The new 2017 Rapids poster series. It's new this season. The Rapids have launched a commemorative. Say that 10 times fast. Try it. Just try three. Commemorative.
Commemorative, commemorative, commemorative.
That's not bad. Commemorative poster series that will be sold during select home games to benefit Kroenke Sports Charities. A limited number of posters will be released, each featuring a different local artist's design. The posters are $10 and will be available for purchase at the top of Section 129 this Saturday. We've seen other teams do this around the league, and it's something that fans... It's not something you just walk into a store and buy a generic, Colorado Rapids poster that you can throughout there. This is done by actual artists, and yep. the money goes to a good cause.
Yeah, and it's and they're of a size where you can frame them. And I imagine, you know, after games, if you want players to sign them, it might be something neat to do. And coming from England, where every game you go to, you get something
program.
Commemorative.
Yeah.
You get a match day program. So there's kind of some evidence, there's some memory
I
of
was
that
there.
Game. And I think this is a nice touch.
Yeah.
And the fact that it comes from local artists is another little tick in the box.
It sure is. Both of them have been, as we mentioned, done by different artists. And that's one coming up on Saturday is no different. Purchase at the top of section 129. And that's where you need to go. Top of 129 this Saturday and every match day that the posters are available. Well, the Colorado Avalanche beat the Detroit Red Wings 3-1 on Wednesday night. Why is that important? Well, yes, of course, it's always good to get a win in one of the greatest rivalries in the history of the NHL. But on March 21st, Dylan Powers will be making a pregame appearance at the Avs game versus the St. Louis Blues to sign autographs, take pictures, and meet fans of both teams. And there's plenty of crossover between the two. Trust me, tickets for the Avs game are available at altitudetickets.com. Go out and watch the Avs take on the St. Louis Blues and see Dylan Powers in the process. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila, made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques. Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Do you have any idea how to make tequila?
No.
Me neither.
I don't need to. I don't know how they build cars, but I can drive.
All right. Mic drop, and thanks for listening to the Rapids podcast. Good night, everybody.
My parting shot. Well, let me just offer you a few stats here.
I wish you would, because you never do that ever, especially on Rapids Kickoff on TV.
I do like numbers. The Rapids average 5.5 shots per game. That includes blocks, the fewest in MLS this season. They complete an average of 3.5 dribbles per game. Again, the fewest in MLS. The Rapids also have the lowest percentage of dribbles completed, 28%. The Rapids completed an average of 163.5 passes per game in the opposition half last season. Early days, I'll add that as the caveat. It's still very much early days, two games gone. So read into these early season stats what you will. But so far from the first two games, they're averaging 136 passes in the opposition's half. So, you know, that's almost 30 less passes. So, again, I'm going to stress, it's early days, still 32 games to go. But from what we saw last Saturday, and what we're kind of hearing from around the camp is that those numbers have got to improve. Productivity has got to improve. Speed of movement has got to be better. Support for the player in possession has to be better. He has to have more options available to him. And the other thing I'll say, don't be afraid to shoot. Three shots in 90 minutes, of which one was on target. Now, I know some of that is because of the absence of Schelz and Gashi. And we knew that Gashi last season was kind of a shoot on sight individual. Don't be afraid to have a go. Don't try and create the perfect goal and walk the ball into the back of the net. More goals, more entertainment. And I keep saying this, when the Rapids went through their wobbles in 2014 and 2015, where they were struggling to score but also conceding, is that if you don't give up a goal, you're not going to lose. But if you don't score,
you're not
going to
win.
Yeah. And so that has got to be my parting shot, is that we want to see this off-season evolution of this Rapids from being defensively solid and just kind of safe and nicking games and edging games to being defensively solid, but also being a little bit more expansive, attacking in numbers, which, again, as I say, we saw in part, we saw for brief moments, we kind of got flickers of that. This is a side that needs to show that they've evolved from 2016. The stats from the first few games, and I'll stress again, only two games. LA have lost the first two games. Real Salt Lake haven't scored a single goal. So it is very much finding the early season form. But the Rapids come out here Saturday against a side that is clearly a little fragile. And let's see a few in the onion bag.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that, as always. Here's something for you. You'll be watching your boy, I think, on Saturday. You're not going to be involved in this, but this is for everybody else besides
okay.
you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you want to watch some rapid soccer action before the first team, which I know everybody does, there are 5 matches involving Development Academy teams on the fields around Dick's Sporting Goods Park on Saturday. Games are all on field number 10 against Arsenal. The U14s kick off at 10, U13s at 12:30, and the U12s kick off at 2:30. You're spoiled because the U16s and U18s are also playing on Saturday against Solar Chelsea SC. 18s kick off at 10 on field 8. That's followed at 12:30 by the U16s. So U12s through U18s all in action out at the Dick's Sporting Goods Park field complex this Saturday. Get along and support the future stars of your Rapids. Rapids against Minnesota United FC live on Altitude 2 this weekend. Coverage starts at 6:30 with Rapids kickoff with Fleming, Balboa, Sturm, and Maguhu just right at 6:30, and then kickoff is just after 7 o'clock. And as always, we're live on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950 from the top of the hour. That'll be 7 o'clock coming up on Saturday. Jordan Angeli and I will have the game for you over the wireless.
The wireless.
Yes. I got it right.
Yes.
It took me a year and a half, but I said it without prompting.
Sit around
either.
The old Joanna and listen to the wireless.
Listen here, kids. Gather around. We're going to listen to some soccer. It's going to be great. Rich, thanks for putting up with me again. Poor soul's seen a lot of me this week.
I was going to say, you're welcome, but that would be a downright lie.
Thank you for not lying to me. I appreciate your honesty, and I appreciate all of you listening to this edition of the Rapids podcast that has mercifully come to an end. Thanks for joining us. Next week, we'll have Peter Walton, I promise. Bye-bye for now.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.